Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, I'm here. What's going on, everybody? And if things seem kind of crispy right now, your boy is out here with his new headphones, and I'm ready, you all. I'm ready to get started with this solo episode. You know, another Whoa. Hold on. Who did invade my studio?
It is I, the official return.
Wait, what?
Yes, I'm back.
You back? Why? How?
Handling business, my friend. That's what this hiatus was all about.
All right. Well, guys, without further ado, he's back, y'all. Our illustrious co-host is back to relieve me of my solo duties, and you're welcome, by the way. I didn't get this podcast fully canceled yet.
You came really close on your last solo episode when you were talking about the dude that paid for his, you know, his, was it his wife's meal? And then the rest of her friends wanted to pay. I was like, dude, do we really have to put out a PSA that we don't hate women?
The answer is, of course, every time. Because you may never know what I might get into.
All right, I already know this is going to be a good episode. So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meet to Meets presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right, before we get into our usual shenanigans, with both of us officially being back, you know, I came back for the interview. That was very straight-laced episode, but we're here. We're ready to get out of pocket. Let's hit him with that legal spiegel.
Yep, it's time to fit it like a glove. The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right, so just off the top, we're going with, these are our last two episodes of season three. So this week and then next week on Valentine's Day, we are doing a Valentine's Day mailbag. That is going to be at blurredcity22@gmail.com, or if you want to hit us up on Instagram or X. So that's just something to keep in mind. We will be coming back March 1st or first Wednesday of March to kind of recap Dune Part 2. But I'm so grateful for you. I know you were working hard to like keep this thing going. So I know you need a break as well.
Yeah. Just for a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So with that, we are going to get into a what's hot. It's going to be slightly different since we're kind of, you know, wrapping up the season. There's a lot of stuff to catch up on, a lot of stuff coming down the pike. So this one is just going to mostly be like what's coming out, what have we been up to watching, different things like that. Oh, so yeah. What you got?
All right, so let's go ahead and get started with what I've been watching. Percy Jackson and the Olympians on Disney Plus. You know, had to, pure heat. And another one that I'm watching is a little anime called Solo Leveling. If you're not on that show, then what is you doing? I'm just saying, Sung Jin-woo.
Him.
We're back. We back, y'all. Oh yeah, Echo. Yep. Finished watching that. Let's see, what else was I watching? Yeah, as far as TV shows, anime, yeah, there's really not too much that came out besides those. You know, One Piece still in its one is now in its egghead arc, so let's get it. But yeah, most of my time has actually been spent gaming.
Nice. What you been up there?
All right, let's go ahead and get started, right? So I recently finished the Dead Space remake, which that's all I need to say about that. And then I got back on Destiny 2.
Really?
I got back on it. You want to know why I got back on it?
For our brother?
Oh, no. I went back on there because of him, like when he passed, like, RIP to a real one. But the reason I came back again, and this time I think it's seemingly for a while. One, I'm kind of a little bored on Star Wars The Old Republic right now, because my Sith is absolutely OP. Nothing can kill him. So I'm like 2-3 tapping everybody. I'm like, okay, I need to be a little challenge in my system. And then the other side is that they recently made an announcement. On February 13th, they're doing an official collab with Mass Effect.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes, so like pretty much the Mass Effect armor and all the catalog is available for your characters on that day. And like the ship and everything, I'm like, oh nah. And like the weapons, I'm like, oh nah, I need to hop back on there. I need to grind this rust right on off because I'm about to go crazy.
Is it been 7 day already?
all I'm saying is, man, as long as we don't have that Mass Effect 3 choice at the end, I'm just saying.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, there's that. And then as of yesterday, I started a new game.
Mm.
And this is one that I was completely I was not prepared for. It's Silent Hill, The Short Message.
Okay.
And it's like, it's a free game on the PS5.
Ooh.
Well, it take like 12 gigabytes, so I'm basically down to nothing right now. But that's okay, because this game is actually kind of heat. I'm not even gonna hold you. Like it's in the same vein as PT.
Okay.
The only thing I'm hoping is that please make this a full game. Because if y'all don't. If Konami fumbles the bag one more time on Silent Hill, I'm going. You're going to find that I will have a reason to be in Silent Hill. So, yeah. Yeah, and that's pretty much all I've been up to, you know, as far as gaming. Oh, yeah, and then, of course, the NFL, you know, because the season.
You know, Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Swifties, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, my God. You know, this is one of the... It's like, this one kind of hurts me a little, right? Because it's like, all right, so I have to choose between Patrick Mahomes with the caveat of Taylor Swift or the 49ers. I'm in a rock and hard place here, y'all.
That's fair. Yo, I'm KC all day. I don't care. I'll rock some Swift on the side as well. I mean, I don't know why grown men are crying as much as they do. I feel like football is the only sport where people act like people don't have, you know, relationships. Where it's just like, oh, this will be a distraction. Like the only sport where that happens.
I mean, we don't. I mean, did you see there was on like a radio show where this woman was basically an argument with her boyfriend because the boyfriend got 3 tickets to the Super Bowl. And instead of taking her, he's taking his best friend.
Wait, are they married or dating?
I think they're dating. I don't know, but...
That's fine.
But also, it's her birthday weekend.
Oh!
Like, her birthday's that Saturday.
And that's actually Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah.
But the Super Bowl in Vegas.
And the best friend has been best friends with him since he was a child.
Look, he made the right decision. She'll get over it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But they were flaming this girl because, like, listen. Sir.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Circumstances aside, like, you could go with them. It's just that you'll just spend the day with him Saturday and then he'll be gone all Sunday. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
All right, so get back on top.
But yeah, what you got?
So actually, since I've been gone, I actually been back into manga a bit. So I've been happy about that. I caught up all the way on Black Clover. So right where the anime ended, up to essentially where it stopped. So based on where it stopped at, I think it's going to be done by 2025, the manga, because like he was on Shonen Jump and he switched to, I believe, like Giga something, and they drop quarterly instead of like weekly. So probably by the end of this year, Black Clover will end. But man, those pages, I really want the anime to come back. It definitely had one of the best rejuvenations, I would say, from an anime, like if you start and then getting to just like the later arcs. Another one, like I really like romance manga, mostly because like with action manga, it's hard for me to picture it sometimes, where it's just like, you know, compared to like, say, watching a My Hero Academia or a Demon Slayer, and you're seeing that for the first time. I know like you read the manga for both, but seeing that for the first time, it's like so mind blowing compared to like, you know, you see the panels and how that transitions. And then like the music, the emotions of it all, like it just adds to it. So I really been like, that's why I like romance manga a lot with that. So just other things that are, you know, on tap that you should be on the lookout for, people: Godzilla, Kong, A New Empire. I believe we were going to have an entire monster month about that, but just with how things transitioned, literally we planned it out and then they were like the next day, hey, we're going to move this movie up 2 months, and it completely messed up our schedule. So then also Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is something I'm definitely looking forward to. So if there's nothing else, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we'll be getting to, but 2024 is just starting, so looking forward to that. So we can get into our next section.
Oh yeah, so what we're gonna go ahead and talk about is actually something that's pretty interesting. It's a gigantic elephant in the room, if you will, and what we're gonna be talking about today is why did you go on a break? Now, this is unlike the situation with Tom Scott and MatPat, where they actually fully retired from YouTube, which I'm not going to talk about because I'm still in mourning. But yeah, like let's go ahead. Just kind of like why you had to like take a quick break from the pod for a little bit. What you got going on?
All right, so why I took a break, we got to go back to, I want to, through the timeline. So I want to say like early to late August. So early August, I finished like my main story edits for my book, and I was already planning for a December, like late December, early January kind of drop. So with that means I have to go through like the technical writing edits and stuff like that. So that's where I like really have to pay attention. Hey, the quotations, the commas, does this grammatically make sense? Different things like that, where it's just like, okay. So I was planning that out. Then also just the publishing process, which takes forever if you're doing self-publishing. So like people that self-publish know exactly what I'm talking about. So with that, that was like something that was on the radar. Then I want to say early August, I had already previously sent a manuscript for a different book that I completed to an agent. And this is like one of the few times where like, again, if you're an author, you know how hard it is querying for an agent, where like they took the manuscript, were actually read it over and could get like actual feedback for it. So that one, I had like a lot of eggs in that basket. I was really hoping to like get that agent. I want to say like things really took a turn mid-September. So it was like around that time, the agent was like, they rejected it, but they gave me really good feedback. Like, this is one of the few people that gave me, like, really good feedback. So, like, they also gave me books that I could read. So, I bought those books around that time, and I was like, okay, so I need to re-edit this one book that I can, well, manuscript that I finished. And I have to do story edits, and then I also have to do, like, the technical edits that relate to what I'm reading and getting help and feedback based on. Also have to do the publishing for my book. So it was just like, okay, this is going to be like a lot of time I need to balance that. Then, as I've talked about with some people, there was a professional situation that was supposed to end in the middle of September, and things took a turn, and people that know, took a turn and for it. And it essentially, like, it's getting pushed back to now. So we are in the latter stages of it. These next 2 weeks are going to be challenging. And so with that, I had to, like, I had to study for it. So it took, like, a I knew it was going to be like a lot of mental energy, essentially studying for this thing related to work. So with that, I was like, okay, that's three things I need to do. At the same time, we're doing podcasting. And if we weren't just doing one episode a week, we had just recently finished the misfortune of doing Secret Wars. So we were doing two episodes a week. Yeah, Secret Invasion. Does it even matter at this point?
It doesn't.
So yeah, so we were doing two episodes a week. So our normal podcast, and we were doing weekly Secret Invasion episodes. And then that was going to bleed into Ahsoka, where we did weekly episodes of Ahsoka. So not only was I doing that, it was like, then we were also editing two times a week, making YouTube videos, and then also just like all the different audio stuff like that with the podcast. So with that, I was just like, I felt like I was drowning in a sense. Yeah. Trying to balance all of these things. And then with the professional situation, like, people that know me know that I don't really get angry like that. Like, I'm not the type that'll be like, okay, I'm gonna yell at you and then curse you out and stuff like that. I'm more of a, I get irritated and it's like, I'm just gonna step away from the situation, or I'm like, just gonna avoid you because I don't like feel like dealing with it at the point. And then when I see you next time, I'll be fine. But like, just like with that situation, I was pissed. And like, my mood, like, was this like bad, and I could tell that it was bad, and it was affecting me in just like different areas, and then also just like, again, the creative process of it. So I was just like, dude, I can't do this right now. I need to like rethink things. And again, the podcast is something that I want to be fun, and I didn't want it to just like be something that was so draining on me. So just like with that, with, you know, the different situations with editing, I was like, I wasn't raised to, you know, give up. But sometimes in life, you have to readjust. You have to change your game plan from scratch. You know, that was the hard part, I would say. It's just like figuring out, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get back? And things worked out. Again, like, these next 2 weeks are very, very important. One, we'll get into like my book in the next section, but then also just like that professional situation. These 2 weeks are like when I ideally can get it done. So yeah, that was mostly why I laugh. And then just like with that, also, this is going to be my early words of encouragement. Just like, man, taking that time away really put things into perspective. If like the last 4 years haven't taught people anything, it's that like life is very valuable. And you don't need to spend it like just being mad all the time, being upset. There are a lot of people that like have just like worse situations than you, if you're being honest with yourself. And like, the amount of negative energy we allow other things to give us, you know, is just like so not worth it. So it definitely put it into things into perspective with me. So once like I got things aligned and then just like got right mentally, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. So here I am.
Dang, that's deep. That got real deep real quickly. But yeah, that's like really great stuff. That's great stuff. Hey, and you know what? Hey, taking a break, like that's really fantastic. That's something that's very much needed. You know what I'm saying? I like to say, like, I took breaks myself, you know, because if I didn't, then it'd be.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
He raps for humanity.
Rumbling. Yeah.
Yes, it'd be the rumbling, because I will make sure everybody get humbled out here. But
my favorite award.
Exactly. Get rumbled, stay humble. All right. But speaking of the break, right, and why you took it off, let's go ahead, let's transition a little bit into what we have, which is your book.
Yes. So with that, like I've mentioned, like, to constant listeners, so my first book, Phantom Pain's The Most Irregular Tale, as I like to describe it, is a combination of My Hero Academia meets Logan. So you mix those two worlds, essentially, in a world where most people have superpowers, but in this world they're called irregulars. And why I also call it, you know, mixed with Logan, is because in this world these regular superpowered beings are second-class citizens, essentially because one irregular, quote-unquote, accidentally blew up Wyoming. So it's completely gone. And that, like, kick-started a conflict with that, and essentially they lost it, so now they're second-class citizens. So with that, it picks up with the main character about 25 years after this conflict ended, where he is essentially a therapist, but he moonlights as a vigilante to stop human trafficking of these irregular citizens. So it kind of just builds from there in the first book. And now with my second book, Phantom Reckoning, it kind of, the word reckoning, I thought it really just tied in nicely to how the first one ended and just the plot. So carrying over from there.
Nice, nice. And I like to go ahead and start this first question off with why Wyoming?
I don't know. It's really funny when I
think about Wyoming of all places to get taken out.
I was just thinking because it's like it's such a big state, like to like eradicate that. I'm so sorry to our Wyoming listeners that we have, but. Like in it, they also do Cheers where it's like to Wyoming. So I think that's like so funny. So whenever, if I get the chance to actually finish the series, I'm going to write like the author's note, apologies to Wyoming.
Well, all I say is, hey, as long as it wasn't Texas, that's all that mattered. But yeah, so like when it comes to that, right, let's go ahead and talk a little bit in depth about the book, you know, it's like what's kind of like was your like, of course, like everybody wants to like, well, a lot of people, you know, they like to write or they may have like ideas put out there. Like what really got you like, you know what, I'm gonna do it. And like, yeah.
Ooh, that's the tough part. So growing up, I've always loved going to the movies. That's always been something that's like big in my life. And I love trailers, you know, the trailers, like the how they cut the scenes, they play the music, it gets you hype. You want to see the movie, especially like when you're in theaters and you're feeling it. So for this particular story, I always would envision one of the scenes in the book towards the end. And you know what I'm talking about, where it's like, I would always envision that scene. I would always envision that scene and just like the music. But like for me, I knew that I couldn't make a movie. I was like, I don't have access to it. There's a lot, like people go to school for that. You got to get connections. But I was like, no one can tell me that I can't write a book. And then also there was a thinking about it. I was like, okay, I see the scene. What comes before it? And when I asked myself that question, that kind of gave me the drive to want to write. And man, when I started, I hated it. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like I hated it, but like when I, cause this world building, you know, not being from familiar, like writing background, you know, having taken courses like that, but not like being specifically quote unquote a writer, you know, student of writing and just like learning about the different situations. But once I get to like page 50 of the first one, for me as a writer, that's when it clicked because I started like envisioning it. I started like falling in love with the characters for me. And then honestly, like one of the scenes in the book, my first one, it came completely from a dream. Like no lie, I had a dream about that scene. I wrote that scene down when I was like it was like in the start of the books, and I wrote that scene down and it's like in the middle part. And then I like just like left it there. And then I wrote up to that scene and then I finished from there. So that was like really cool. That's when I was like, yo, I love writing so much. I love being able to tell stories. So that kind of kickstarted it for me. And then also like two things just like with it, the main character, he's schizophrenic, but he's also a therapist. And one thing why I did that is because I think the way that mental health is depicted, Joker is like two things kind of influence this, Joker and then also Predators, the bad Predator movie. Is it Predators or it's the Predator? Like the
suit. The Predator? Oh, the one, yes. With the suit of armor? Yeah, yeah, the Predator.
So like in Joker, so typically with mental health, it's either depicted as like, okay, you have a mental health, so you're crazy and that justifies you doing bad, or you have a mental health issue and that is like your superpower. So like the Predator, the kid was able to like understand alien, like literal alien languages, and was the evolution of man in that movie. So I just kind of wanted to put it in perspective of a sense, like, this is a person that is, like, sick, and he's dealing with it. It's a part of him, but it's not who he is. So,
yeah, definitely, definitely. That's kind of, that's very real. That's very real. As a matter of fact, like, that's kind of, like, something I'm, like, currently working on as well as part of my projects that I will be letting you guys know later as soon as I get more details about that.
We're hard-working men, people.
Exactly, exactly. But let's just say it's less on the writing side, but more on the filming side. Yes, but yeah, like getting back into it, like you of course like mentioned your influence of like My Hero and Logan and all of that. It's like were there like any other influences in your novel series that you can think of?
I mean, for some of my characters, I kind of just wanted to be out there. So, like, Mikey is one of my favorite characters and, like, an extension of myself to an extent. I would say, like, he's, yes, definitely. I feel like he has, like, Mad Hatter vibes, but, like, also, like, Harley Quinn-ish type, you know, energy to him with that. But, like, I didn't want to be, like, too... Oh, one. I guess one thing, like, since it's urban fantasy... My favorite book series is The Dresden Files by Jim Butcher. So yeah, that's one of my like favorite series. And like, I heard that like rereading book, well, not rereading, but reading books helps you in writing. So when I wrote my first one, I was like, I remember I was like in Chicago, I would go to the Barnes and Noble and DePaul University. So after work, I would go straight there. I would either like take my laptop there and then write on like the weekends or after work, I would like read the book and it would just like help me. So definitely that was something that was helpful for me. So that was like one of the vibes. I didn't want to like copyright a lot of stuff or like some people, like they clearly pull from other ideas. And it's just like, so for me, I didn't want to be like too much like that. So.
There's a certain series that comes to mind. You know it as well as I do from a certain interaction we had the other day.
And then also with human trafficking, I feel like that's not something that's touched on a lot.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Yes. And then also probably the most important question that I have to ask about this book of all time, which is which character is me?
I would say since I wrote this, the first one before I knew you, and now I'm in the second one. I feel like one of the villains in the second one you would really appreciate. That's all I say. Either one or two of them you'd appreciate.
All right. As long as these is villains that represent me on a personal level and they do not die in the end, I'll be extremely grateful for. If they get clapped and they get clapped in an embarrassing way, this friendship is over. I'm not even going to hold you. This podcast is canceled immediately as soon as the book comes out. I'm not even going to lie to y'all about that. But yeah, that was your one and only warning. Go ahead and talk to your editors now and get that book edited in case we have problems. But speaking of like going to the second one with the title of Phantom Reckoning, that gives me like very, very, very ominous vibes. You know what I'm saying? So would you say like this is kind of like the Empire Strikes Back of the series?
Well, yeah. So with that, some of my beta readers and then other people that I know, particularly like my oldest sister, she read it, and then after she finished it, she called me immediately because of the ending. So like with this one, like with the ending, I'm not playing. So I think with this one I want it to be different. So one of the issues with superhero stuff or just like power stuff in general is that power scaling is something that is hard, because with how the first one ended, obviously, like one of my characters talks about it a lot, where he's saying that I'm not really a fighter. I'm just able to use my abilities in a smart way that helps me in fighting. So I'm not like that powerful of a character. But the person that he was fighting in the first one was a fighter and was giving him the business from time to time. But with this one, I wanted it to be more of the villain is different, you know? So it's not about, oh, you can beat them in a fight. It's like a mental warfare type of thing. And it's like, oh, if you want to do this in the first one, this is what it looks like to be a hero. And so there's a reckoning coming, which was like, this one was hard to write. I'm not gonna lie, it took me some time because I'm super excited about the third and the fourth one, and like the framing of the second one. But when I finished it and got feedback, I think people will definitely rock with it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Awesome. This is probably one that I like, especially like when we're talking about sequels, right? There's always kind of like this ism, like, man, is this basically going to be either like a carbon copy of the first one, or is it going to be like two totally different to where like I'm basically out of it because it lost the luster of the first in the first place? Or even just like trappings of like, man, this is, or like how do you find that like sweet spot of like creativity with when it comes to sequels, or like what are some of the trappings that you kind of had to be aware of and try to navigate through?
Again, like when I talk about power scaling, with the villains being so different in this one, it couldn't be, hey, you beat, quote unquote, maybe the villain in the first one. Hey, you need to defeat the villain in the second one. Hey, okay, we made the villain stronger in the third one, and you need to get stronger and stuff like that, where it's like tough like that. But I mean, I know how the series is going to end. I know like the final word, who says it, and like on the final book, and like all of that. So I kind of like understood how my story was going. So with the evolution and trying to avoid just like being copycat, I know, kind of like what we talked about with Midnight Comics, where it's like, okay, I know how the story is going to progress. So I'm not like pulling things out of nowhere to like get it to be cool, or like, oh, this is really cool in the first one, let me do it exactly. I'm more or less treating it like this is the evolution of a character. This is the evolution of the story. And how it like logically makes sense with that. Where it is like there are a lot of the same characters from the first one in the sequel, but at the same time, their interactions are different based on what happens, based on the consequences of the first one, and then based on just how they've progressed in the second one.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes complete sense. It's also great, like you have like that road that had that map, if you will. Like knowing where to, like knowing like what the end is, where it's going to end and how, and then just working out your way backwards and trying to be like, all right, how do I get from A? How to get to D from A?
I definitely put like tent poles, like how you say get to Z from A, where it's just like, okay, this is Z. Okay, here. I don't necessarily need to know what X and Y is, but I definitely know what P is, you know, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And also like one of the big things, as I mentioned, like big thing is knowing when to end or like where to end at and having conclusive ending, because there are some things out there, if you will, that seem to be going on too long with absolutely no aim or direction. When they had a very clear ending to begin with. I'm not naming names at all, but if you know, you know. But how you feeling about that? How you feel about that?
It's definitely, I know like when I have my ending, there's potential for more, but I'm not writing more after that. But I am debating a character situation. That's the only thing about the ending that I'm debating about. I mean, just like one character and how I want to handle that. So definitely when it's time for the story to end, it's time for the story to end. And you can appreciate it. Like Attack on Titan just ended. If it comes back in 10 years, it's just going to lose some of that luster. Unless they just like did like a remake of it, like master, like, you know, like how they do like the Naruto that's supposed to come out, but hasn't for like the past 3 months or so. But, you know, like you lose that appreciation, like the Sopranos, that ending. I know that ending was kind of controversial to an extent. I mean, it wasn't Game of Thrones ending, but the most they've done with that is like the Saints of Newark, which is a prequel. So, and then, I mean, obviously, unfortunately, that character died in real life. So, yeah, you can only do so much.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But yeah, and then like, again, just like one of the last things, what was probably like your favorite character power that you wrote into there?
Ooh,
that does, and if it gets into spoilers, you don't have to say anything.
I'm trying to think. I really like Emma and Angel's power. and how it works and their dynamic with that. I don't know if it's my favorite. I know teleportation, I love it just because it would be easier in a sense, but that's probably not my favorite. It would probably be either Emma or Angel's power, where they use their aura as a weapon. Either that or in this new one, there is one character that plays a lot of mind games. So I'll leave it at that, which touches on the fact that the main character is a schizophrenic person. So,
it's going there.
Yeah. So it ties into the fact that, again, it's not about being stronger. It's about you need to like adapt to the villain.
Okay. I'm getting real hyped about this sequel. Any last words you want to tell the good peoples out there before
I have a question for you that from the first book, people, it's actually very controversial. Are you team Sophia or team V?
How dare you? How dare you, sir? Cause I love them both, all right? I'm not even old. If I had a choice, I'd pick both, but all right, so you decide to go there, hit me with the impossible question. Dang. Hold up, what?
I'll say this before you answer. Either way you pick, you're going to be mad in the sequel.
What?
Yeah.
You going to do me like that? That dirty? Oh, no. I don't want to read the sequel now. Nah, everything was perfect. You know what? I'm going to flip a coin to decide which team I'm on. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Heads is Sophia, tails is V. Apparently, I'm on Team V today.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, I'm on Team V today.
But I am so torn writing those two characters. That's actually something else I'm debating. I'm so torn writing them.
Oh, nah. I'm like, bro, you just had to write that into the story. I'm like, yes, King. And then you're just like, all right. Now you have to make a choice. I'm like, you.
But it makes sense, though, the way it's framed.
It does. It very much does. I'm just like, why not both?
You spoke about Mass Effect. Remember in the first one, you can't choose both.
I know I can't, but I still try to find
them. Try it.
I will do whatever I can until the game will literally force me to choose. To which at that point, then I will do what I did just now. Grab a coin, flip it. But here's the thing about Mass Effect that's different from your book, right? In Mass Effect, I can have multiple playthroughs. I can't do none of that with your book. I can't at all. There's no alternate cut unless you make one. Actually, you know what? That's your assignment.
Actually, now that you mentioned that, I am doing one-off stories that I'm going to put like in a collection, and it'd be like an anthology, and I would drop that after the fourth one. So
Yeah. So yeah, just go ahead and add the alternate cut, like version two, the dash cut, the rogue cut. Oh, that would be perfect. The rogue cut.
Oh, man. Just for you.
Yes, just for me to have all the worst decisions, the decisions I would make, and see how down tremendous this country will become.
All right. So, yeah, that's all I got. Other than Phantom Reckoning, A Most Irregular Tale, the second book, sequel to Phantom Pain's A Most Irregular Tale. So this one is available both on Spotify. It is available on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. So I got both this time. That was definitely hard. There was one day where just because of formatting for both of them, it took like 2 days just to like add one page because it was so frustrating. And there were so many bots that pretended to be humans that were helping me, and they were not helpful. I know they were bots because of how they responded uniformly every time. But yeah, with that. So it's dropping February 15th. So next Thursday from when this releases, we're actually recording it like 2 weeks before it releases. But yeah, so Phantom Reckoning at Barnes & Noble, also on Amazon.
Nice. Well, hey, thanks for allowing let me semi-interview you on your first one back.
Yes.
We got something very special coming up right afterwards in our next segment. But before we do that, we got to hit you up with that quick sponsor break. For today's sponsor, we have none other than Mitri Dash. He is an excellent author who graciously donated to the channel today. And as such, he decided to gift us a very special copy of Phantom Pain and Phantom Reckoning. Yes, Phantom Reckoning has not been released, but yeah, I got a copy right here. And all I gotta say is this book is pure flames. And that's not because this book is literally on fire right now. But in any case, yeah, this is an amazing time, amazing book. I don't know how this man keeps writing the amount of heat that he does. But anyways, go grab yourself a copy of Phantom Pain and Phantom Reckoning when it's released. Go do it. Go do it now before my house burns down.
All right, we are back. So when we have episodes like that, we like to do some random musings. So with this, is this a topic or two topics where we're just bringing it to the table? Neither of us knows what the other one is picking, and then we just go through with it. So with mine, this one is something that's just like been on my mind for a while. But 2024 and 2025 are going to be the most important years in superhero history with that. More specifically 2025, and I'll explain why, but with 2024, there are some stuff that needs to get settled. So why I say that, I would say the MCU is probably the most, not popular, but successful franchise in history. You can debate Star Wars. Like, I feel like it's the one and two just because of the number of movies with the MCU compared to every other franchise, even with Star Wars. I know there's like a lot of TV shows been around longer, so forth and so on. You can debate Harry Potter, but again, the number of movies, again, you can debate Lord of the Rings, number of movies, number of TV shows, box office, things like that, in totality. So with that, we're running into a superhero issue, and it's not just solely with Marvel, like, but sticking with them, no matter, regardless of how you feel about the movies individually, they're not box officing like they used to. One, the TV shows are really hit or miss, like really hit or miss. Actually, I'm going to like start Echo later. I don't know if it's good or not. I have no opinion yet. I'm going to watch it though. I'm excited for it. And then it feels like their work for real right now. Like we used to say, like before Disney Plus kind of kicked in, that oh, I gotta watch all these movies to catch up. Now if you take the Marvels for example, you would have to watch Miss Marvel, potentially Secret Invasion, because Nick Fury was in it and he was in the trailer, but it doesn't tie into it at all. Then you also have to watch Captain Marvel, and then you also have to watch WandaVision. That's a lot to catch up on just to, you know, watch a movie where it doesn't specifically tie into it. And then also, like, perception, it's just off, you know? And there's a lot of things to get into. So, more with that, DC isn't off the hook either. They've been putting out, perception. Some of it's been good, some of it's been straight trash. But with that, why I say 2025 more specifically is more important, because that's what kicks off the James Gunn era. And with the James Gunn era, he's starting with Superman Legacy. Meech, I have a question for you.
Yep.
Don't name the last great Superman. Name the last great Superman movie.
The last great Superman movie?
Because I liked Man of Steel. I don't think it was great.
I did too. Like, that movie, it was good, but there was a lot of issues, primarily towards the end, that kind of semi-tanked. And also, like, a little bit in the, like, beginning half of the movie, like
we love Henry Cavill. It's just the movie.
Yes, some of the writing in the movie was kind of iffy in places. But the last truly great Superman movie, in my opinion, was the Christopher Reeve Superman, like, 2.
What is that, 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know, like, it's slowly leaking out who's going to be the actors and stuff like with, but he's putting a lot of stock in Superman carrying You know, because that movie has to hit. It has to be at least Dark Knight Rises level of good, in my opinion. So just like with, again, going back to superhero movies in general, Sony, they're about to put out Madam Web next year. Actually, Sony's putting out the most superhero movies this year. They're putting out Madam Web next week. They're putting out Kraven the Hunter, and they're putting out Venom 3.
I'm only excited for one of them.
And then with Marvel, they're putting out Deadpool 3, which, if we're being honest, is not an MCU movie. It's only MCU because they bought it.
Yeah, it literally is. And you did you hear like what was going on like behind the scenes with that movie?
I did not.
Okay. And this is actually like pure perfection. So, I didn't know. This is primarily Ryan Reynolds. Like, he pretty much like he is the head man in charge over every aspect of this. Well, there was a scene where Disney, like, pretty much were trying to like insert like just a bunch of like ancillary characters into the movie,
mm-hmm.
and they had filmed scenes. And then when Ryan Reynolds saw it, he said, "Cut that out right now," mm-hmm. and fired the actors who played those mutant characters. He pretty much said, "No, this scene is going to be absolute garbage. Get them out of here. Do not taint my movie."
Mm.
I'm just like, can we not get more of that?
No, because Kevin is in control of everything. So, like, again, Deadpool 3 is by extension only an MCU movie. It's not really an MCU movie. And then with that DC, the only DC movie that's coming out is an Elseworlds joint where it's going to be Joker de la Foi, which is going to be a musical, well, rumored to be a musical. And regardless of if it's good or not, half the people are going to love it, half the people are going to hate it. Like, I have no opinion walking into it. Regardless of whether I like it or not, I already know half of people are going to love it, half of people are going to hate it. So, like, a lot is banking on 2025. So, with that, I just think that not to speak of the games, the Avengers game was bad.
You did not touch that.
And this ties in. I think that Marvel has a Miss Marvel Kamala Khan issue. Not the character, not the actress, because she kills it every time she gets on screen. I don't think they know how to write that character, because think of how they handled her in the comics. Her own TV show, that it started off high and that ending got really weird. And then also the Marvels, where she was like the breakout star of it, but they wanted to shoehorn the X-Men at the end. So maybe the Young Avengers is the move for it, but I don't know, because that's definitely a star in the making.
Yeah. Just like in the comics, he's basically the biggest hit of the new generation right now, which is kind of crazy. Her and our special boy Miles.
Speaking of which, I don't think that's coming out this year, Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Oh, no, it's definitely not.
Yeah, that March rumor, they should have killed that early. We might not see that movie till 2026, to be honest.
Hey, I'm good. You know what? I'm going to be waiting. Like, literally, I think of it like this. The longer they are, like, the longer they put off that movie, the more that they're going to make that animation.
That's fair.
Yeah,
so just like to wrap up, something Marvel, like a few things Marvel has to do. One, address the Kang situation in some capacity. So they have to figure that out internally. Two, I think they need someone to be a character to be able to carry their TV shows. With Echo, that being rated M, and then also the Daredevil Born Again. It's not Reborn. It's Born Again, right?
Yeah, it's Daredevil Born Again.
That having, just not that, but then the Punisher going to be in it. I think they're testing the waters with rated R material and seeing if that'll work. So I think Daredevil and Kingpin are going to carry the TV series. And then they also have to figure out, how do we make it box office again? So, yeah. So superheroes, they have 1 year to kind of figure it out. And then in 2025, they got to hit the ground running.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I also didn't talk about Gotham Knights or the Unalive Squad take out the Justice League.
You know the worst part about that second one?
What?
I already seen the whole game.
I'm watching cutscenes of it. I thought about buying it until like last week, and then I heard so much discourse about it, and I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna buy it.
See, I was gonna buy it because it's like, all right, this is gonna be Kevin Conroy. It's like, this is his magnum opus. I'm like, and then I'm seeing the cutscene. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah, there ain't no way. Ain't no way, boy. Ain't no way they do him this dirty.
Yeah.
And actually, apparently it's not his last role.
Okay. Yeah.
Apparently, there's another like Batman project. I don't know if it's a movie or game or something, but he's in it for one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the last time. So I'm just like, thank you. Just thank you.
Yeah. So, what's your random musing?
All right. So this one actually goes over another game that I recently got into. It's actually probably the biggest game that's kind of out here on the market right now. It's a game that if you haven't been on the internet, well, if you've been on the internet for about like 3 seconds, then you probably heard of it. It is a game called Pal World. And for the people out there who don't know what Pal World is basically an action adventure open world survival game. And the whole gimmick behind it is that, like, you know, you're going around crafting, building environments, building, you know, strongholds, safe houses, you know, you got weaponry and whatnot. But the biggest draw of the game is that there are just these magical creatures out there.
That's generous.
Yeah, they're just magical creatures called pals. You know, like, they're very rare. They vary from being very cute to very terrifying to being very OP for no reason whatsoever. And you can capture these pals in these spherical orbs, if you will. And, like, you can throw it at them after, like, fighting them, or you can, like, after shooting it with a shotgun, and you can capture them, and then you can use them to fight other pals to make capturing them a lot easier, rinse and repeat. Now, if you captured how in the world I described it, you know good and well that's Pokemon.
I don't see the connection.
Oh, no. But the thing is, like, this game has been taking the world by storm. I'm not even going to hold you. It's taken me by storm because this game is absolutely heat. Because of the fact, like, and I know people like to say, oh, this is just Pokemon with guns. I'm like, but it's more than that. It's Pokemon with Rust, Ark, general Minecraft, just general survival. Because not only can you, like, capture your pals, you can put those pals to work.
You want to say what they actually are?
Listen. We feed them.
Okay.
Well, you're able to feed them, and you're able to make sure they have a good working wage.
Okay.
But the and also you do have the capacity to kill pals and then eat them. You know, hunt other pals. You know, for nutrients and sustenance and for resources, you know, just like a great, it's just a great game. I'm not even going to lie to you. It's a pretty great game. Like, but of course, like, the main controversy behind it is just the fact that, I mean, is the biggest elephant in the room. That's not dang. I forgot the name of the elephant one.
The Pokemon.
I was going to say, like, the Pokemon variation. I was like, it's not the biggest mammoth swine in the room.
Swine.
It's the biggest mammoth swine in the room. What's that? Is the fact that that Nintendo, they ain't liking this at all.
No.
Cause think about it. It's like it came from basically a startup company just shot up out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's making record numbers.
And it's cheap.
Yes.
And it's cheap.
Well, it's cheap because it's like $30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's $30, but in that $30, you get the soundtrack to the game too. So I'm like,
ooh.
Originally it's just like $23, so dirt cheap. In comparison to other games that are out right now and other Pokemon games in general. But the whole thing is the fact that, like, hey, Nintendo, they ain't happy about it. You know, feel like infringing on the property, infringing on their rights. on the rights to, you know, have creatures that get caught in balls and being forced to fight one another.
I heard that just not the creatures are the only things that get captured and forced to work for you.
Nani? Okay, I was just gonna bury the lead about that one. But you just decided to bring up the fact that yes, you can capture humans. All right, you can capture humans, and by humans we mean specifically other like hunters, like evil hunters. You know, like some poachers, if you will, capture them.
The bad ones.
Yeah, the bad ones. You know, capture all the evil in this world and put them to work. You know. Make them atone for their crimes against pals in humanity by having them work in the fields. And considering what color my character is versus the color of the bad guys, some would say I may be going a tad far. But in reality, me doing this for like 30 hours in total. It's nothing in comparison to... No, I'm going to stop there before...
Aaron Yeager?
In comparison to the 800 plus years before... But basically, I do have the rumbling in my stronghold. My stronghold is nice and secure. I do have a bunch of...
hitters.
Yes, I do have a bunch of shooters out here in these streets. Just know if you run up on me, you get raided by me, you're getting taken out by the elephant in short fat. Literally, my army is like, I just need the elephant and I need my dragon. I just need them two big boys. And then I'm flying on my like flying raptor and I'm just raining hellfire just downwards. I'm like,
so you're Sun Jin Woo out here.
Yes, I am Sung Jin Wooing out here in these streets. I am Aaron Yeager. I am making sure that all the non-Eldians are getting put in a pack or getting put in my fields. They are picking my crops.
You're about to say something else?
It's only because what you're thinking of is not in the game. You can't farm that.
Technically, it's a crop, though.
It is a crop, but it's not in the game, as far as I know.
The DLC.
As soon as I find that, I can use it. If it's in the game and I haven't found it yet, give me like 3 days. I will make sure that it's found expeditiously.
I love it.
But yeah, just... So, yeah, it's just the fact that, you know, the Pokemon Company, they're like... trying to say like, hey, we're gonna go investigate this game. And now the CEO of PALS like is pretty much the company's getting death threats right now.
Send in the ninjas.
Yes, I'm just here like, bruh, when are we gonna quit with all of these death threats, bro? You act as if this is gonna amount to something. But all you're really doing is either gapping or you're putting a target on your own back.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's your thoughts on PAL World?
Is it available on PlayStation?
Not on PlayStation, but it's PC and Xbox Game Pass.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I've seen like minutes of gameplay. I haven't like watched it extensively. I've just heard like all the controversies about the, you know, the quote unquote Pokemon and then the other thing that we talked about like what you can have people pick and the fact that you have people picking stuff. But it is what it is. I mean, I'm pretty sure like if you the people that are playing it might need to some of them might need to be watched because they might be having a little too much fun. It might lean a particular way, not you, Meech, but you know, people that the old rebels, if I will say.
Nope. All right, if they are doing it like that, just know that I'll just grab my team and go raid their whole entire base. And then I'll free the people.
You're a liberator.
Yeah. I'm a liberator. The only thing that you need is just you come work for me and go into my I was about to say a certain word.
I was about to say something crazy. Oh, man.
My plat. My PLA.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, it's, and also the fact is, Nintendo, they also like came after and hit a cease and desist against a man who modded actual Pokemon into the game.
That's crazy.
And that mod had only been out for like 24 hours at that point. So I'm like, dang, them shooters were quick.
Yes.
And yeah, that's all I have to say about Pow World.
Yeah, for my second random musing, it's a super quick. Something else to be on the lookout for this year, the college football EA Sports games is coming back. Super excited for that. It's been about 8 to 10 years around that range, so it's very interesting. There isn't a set date yet. I'm surprised they didn't release a trailer or like a teaser at the college football playoff games. I feel like that would have been the best opportunity to just like get the hype back. But I just hope it is like super good and something with, because like I can't recall the last great sports game played recently, because a lot of it is copy and paste, along with the fact that the companies invest so much in microtransactions and like, so like the ultimate teams and all that stuff like that. So I really hope they don't do that, especially for college, you know, a college football game. I just want to play with my two schools, my two alma maters, and give people the business. So
yeah. And then for mine, right, my second one is, did you hear about the controversy behind the Avatar The Last Airbender Netflix series?
The only one that I've, it's not really controversy, but the thirst tweets and thirst trap, that is Lord, the Fire Nation Lord.
Lord Ozai?
Yes.
What?
Some people have lost their minds.
Oh my goodness, jeez. But no, that ain't what it is. But the fact is that recently they tweeted out, or they X'd out the fact that essentially in this Avatar The Last Airbender live action Netflix series, they are removing Sokka's sexism.
Okay, I heard that this morning.
Yeah, so the idea is that, like, all right, because, you know, sexism is apparently not in great taste, they are removing it from his character for the live action series. And I know for me personally, I personally don't like the fact that they're removing it, because it was an integral part of his character in the cartoon series. Like his main thing was the fact that he looked down on women, and then women absolutely kicked his tail every chance that they got, and to where he eventually, especially with the Kyoshi Warriors, and then he learned, like, hey, they have, like, extremely great values, too. As a matter of fact, if I recall correctly, the entire water tribe is pretty much a bunch of sexists, because Katara is like the only female waterbender.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the males were like gatekeeping it, and she's the only one.
That's fair. It's been so long since I've seen it, so I can't recall, but obviously, like, things evolve, so I wonder how they'll treat it, like, instead of like purely like that, you know, because it's hard to recall, but, you know, everything gets updated different times, stuff like that, so we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see, but I'm just here, like, I'm just like, man, that was such an integral part of the character. Like, how in the world are they going, like, change it now? Like, what lesson is he going to learn now?
That's fair.
Rather, like, because his whole character was going from, well, A, going from super goofy guy to serious when time calls,
mm-hmm.
being from the guy nobody can depend on to the guy who everybody can depend on, and being from a sexist to a family man.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they just cut out one of the three pillars. So
that's weird. We'll see. I probably, someone watched it maybe with their kids, and like they were just like, ugh, you know, probably did those tests where it's like that. But I mean, I don't think it'll detract from the show in a sense. I mean, here's the bar, Meech, that you're missing. You have to be better than the movie that no one wants to talk about.
What movie?
Exactly. So that's your bar, because you can't touch the cartoon.
Let's see. Cartoon is up at the very top of the screen. This movie that does not absolutely exist is apparently not on the scale at all. So,
doesn't register.
Dang. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, all right. Let's
see where we end up from there.
All right. So with that, this being Black History Month, we are going with our Black History Creator of the Month, or just Black Creator of the Month.
Yeah, so for my creator, I'm looking towards a guy on TikTok who I am, like, really vested in. His name is Thad Boy. Thad Boy, he's a content creator on TikTok. He does, like, a lot, primarily, like, mostly football and sports-related content. They're mostly, like, skits, you know. He does, like, whole series, and they are hilarious. The current one that he's doing now is called When the 3-Star is Better Than a 5-Star. And in case you don't know what that means, basically, a five-star player who's coming in from high school to college, they're projected, you know, to be kind of the number one of the team, if you will, like the number one of their respective position. So, like, 5-star running back, like, they perhaps the best running back, you know, they're probably going to get the most yardage, the most touchdowns, least amount of fumbles and sacks and whatnot. And then 3-star is pretty much the most average of one. So if you're, like, labeled a 3-star, you basically that's just giving you the label, like, you average. But in this series, they completely flip it on the head where the 3-star is outdoing the projected 5-star of the season. And it's just driving, like, literally every single character mad. And
interesting. What's the name of it again?
Thad Boy. THADDBOI.
So check it out.
Yeah, go ahead and check it out, especially if you love football, if you love college football, if you love just high school football, if you love the NFL. He has just a bunch of skits just based on that, and I love tuning into this series because he drops, like, an episode of the 3-star versus 5-star, like, every single day.
Dang.
Like, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So, like, when I wake up, I just, like, I see it's like, all right, let me see what happened in this new episode.
Mm-hmm. Dope. So with that, we can just, you know, hit up our recommendations now. So, Meech, if you will lead the way.
All right.
Well, recommendations and plugs.
Oh, yes. So for my recommendations, right, we have ourselves the one and only Pal World. Go ahead, support that. Perhaps the biggest thing that you should be supporting right now is Phantom Pain, A Most Irregular Tale, and then Phantom Reckoning, you know, by your boy, Mitri_Dash. I will sing praises to that all day long. And then, of course, we have ourselves, you know, as I said, Pal World, Dragon Ball Z, Sparking Zero, when that drops. The tournament's about to go crazy on that. And yeah, that's all I have as far as plugs.
Well, with recommendations, the only thing I can think of with gaming, since this is a gaming heavy episode, Tekken 8 just dropped recently. So that's something that people can check out. So just with housekeeping, next week is going to be our season 3 finale. We are doing a Valentine's Day mailbag. So just with that, send us your questions. It does not have to relate to anything, you know, nerd related. It can just be normal romance questions. I don't know why you would ask us that, but we're here for you. So and then we were returning first week of March to do our Dune 2 movie review. So let's get into our plugs and get up out of here.
All right, so we have ourselves at Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter, and our Threads account under BlurredCity22. Like, comment, subscribe, you know, hit the bell for notifications, stay up to date for our release schedules and everything of that hunky-dory. We also have our Discord, LinkedIn said Instagram page, you know, join a fine community of degenerates, and you can submit, like, various things in our various channels, especially memes. We have ourselves our YouTube and our Patreon under Blurred City Pod. For the Patreon, you donate a little cheddar as low as $1 to us, and then you get access to very exclusive episodes that may not have seen the light of day. And then also going from there, we have ourselves our email, blurredcity22@gmail.com. That's where you can submit your mailbag questions for any relationship advice that that you want to give to this single guy right here. I don't know why you would come to me, but you know what? You can go ahead still send them anyways. As a legend once said, listen, I'm a coach. I don't play the game. I help you become the best at the game. That's from there. And then, of course, for my personal page, I am the Jedi Ronin, on Instagram as well as TikTok, and that's where I post content about like me sabering, and that dovetails into the new project that I'm currently trying to work on, and just whatever future adventures I'm gonna get myself into today. What you got?
All right, obviously Phantom Reckoning, Most Irregular Tale. Again, links are going to be down below in the description for the pre-order, so you can get it next week, February 15th. So again, Amazon and Kindle. Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble. So with that, my individual author pages, we have Dimitri_Dash on my Instagram. That is Dimitri_Dash. For my X/Twitter, that is @TheMadDash16. And again, I already said it at the top. I usually do my book plug after, but yeah, again, so Phantom Reckoning dropping soon. With that, like we have like to end it. Meech, you can hit us with the words of encouragement.
So for my words of encouragement, it's always just, you know, to when you have like an inkling or like have that inspiration and idea, go ahead and jump towards it. Be sure, like, hey, if it's something that like you desperately want to do, go ahead and do it. Like, there's nothing stopping you unless that activity is very illegal. And with that, like, of course, when doing so, make a plan and then just ensure that like you have steps in order and like sub goals in order to reach your main goal. And that's how I've been with my fitness.
Nice. And I gave my words of encouragement at the top. So with that, like we like to say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.